Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you crazy cool cats. Welcome to another fun edition of Real Nerds Podcast, where every week we see a new movie. We podcast our experience to the world. This week we saw Companion. Stay tuned if we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the film. We'll also talk about the big movie news of the week and films we've watched throughout the week. I am joined, as always, by my friend, my compadre, my companion, Brad.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, you know.
Wait a second. Am I programmed like this because you think I'm dumb?
Don't go on your phone and turn up your intelligence, okay?
There's a button for that.
How are you doing, Brad?
I got a big headache today, but taking it one day at a time. It's like I have all these things going on. I'm just like trying to like just stay, and then like the weather and the everything doesn't help.
I know. I feel you. I feel like all I do is run around, and I had to work at 6 a.m. the last 2 days, and I usually don't work Tuesdays. And because I work 6 a.m. and my wife works till 7 a.m., she's an overnight emergency nurse, I had to find someone to take my kid to school for 2 days. So I have to run him to my in-laws at night. My in-laws take him to school. I pick him up from school. Then he hangs out with me for a little bit. I feed him dinner. Then I take him back to my in-laws and do the whole thing again.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do about it? It's okay. We still see movies and I still have fun with it.
Yeah, I guess you always put them up for adoption.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Why don't you put them out in front with a sign that says free?
Yeah.
Free to a good home.
I want my days back.
Nah, I'd rather have my kid. Yeah, so I feel you. Brad, do you recommend Companion?
Yeah, it's all right. Unfortunately, two things happened. Do you ever like miss the opening credits to a movie and then just get completely thrown off for like the whole experience?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like you've missed something, you know?
Yeah, when I went and saw it, I don't really know how. So there's like these three girls that were like holding up the concessions line, which I need to do to get the ticket. I was already running behind. I was like, well, there's like 30 minutes of credits. How much could I have missed? Turns out whenever I'm late, they don't do like 30 minutes of credits. So I got in there and I think the two characters were like on the way to the retreat. So I don't think I missed a ton, but like not having those title credits really just like, I don't know what's.
Yeah. So you missed their cute meet.
Okay. Which they probably showed again later in the movie, right?
Yeah. They showed a little bit of it. You know what I mean? They show, that'd be spoilers, but yeah, I recommend the film too. I think it was lots of fun. There's lots of little fun twists in it. And Sophie Turner is wonderful in
Thatcher.
It. Thatcher, I mean. Here's a trailer for Companion.
There have been two moments in my life when I was happiest. The first was the day I met Josh.
I'm Josh.
I'm Iris. And the second, the day I killed him.
Just relax. Remember to smile and act happy. Do they know? Iris, wake up.
What are you doing? Shut her down already.
What is she talking about, Josh?
This was not part of the plan.
I didn't mean to.
Did you jailbreak your sex pod?
Wow, Josh. The days of you controlling me are over.
Are you breaking up with me?
It's not you. It's me.
Yeah, she's tied up inside, so she's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm.
Eli, Iris.
Shh, baby, you're on the phone.
So Companion stars Jack Quaid and Sophie Thatcher, and they are boyfriend, girlfriend on their way to a retreat, or I guess a friend's like lake house, you know? And
yeah,
while they're there, there is some tension already between Iris, who is Sophie Thatcher's character, and another woman character that isn't really hashed out. Her name's Kat, and she doesn't like her. They're at the house belongs to this Russian guy named Sergei, who may or may not be part of the Russian mob. And their gay friends are also there, Patrick and Eli. And it's basically a fun weekend, and then it turns south because Sergei decides he's going to come on to Iris, and Iris kills him. And then, I mean, the thing that sucks is, I don't know if you can sell the movie without it, but the trailer kind of gives away that she's not human.
Yeah, they advertised for a long time without revealing that. And so when I found that out, I was like, man, that would have been a fun surprise in this movie. It would have made the movie way more interesting. But going into it, knowing that right away she's a robot, you're just like, okay. So I'm just like,
how it pans out. Because even the first teaser trailer, they kind of have her arm over the fire and it's on fire. So you knew something wasn't right with it. But then I forget what movie I saw, but they had a Red Band trailer for it, and it kind of gave away that she was, you know, an android. So it was kind of disappointing in that regard, but it was still a fun movie.
And also, like, these are the people who did Barbarian, which they totally didn't spoil the second half of what a Barbarian is.
Oh yeah.
In the marketing. So like, I was constantly seeing this movie waiting for like the next reveal.
Yeah.
And it never came, which felt disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, there's still some twisty things to it. I mean, you learn that Sergei isn't even in the mob. He's just, you know, a rich guy. And I mean, I guess the one big reveal that I didn't pick up right away was Eli's boyfriend, Josh, was also one of these companion robots.
Yeah. I kind of caught on early on. I forget what he did, but I was like, I bet he's also a companion robot.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I should have, because they had a cute meet too, and it almost seemed too storybook, you know?
Yeah. And also the bottle opener, they featured a bunch. So I was like, I bet that's coming back.
But it was fun when she got control of his, you know, phone and made herself really smart. It kind of became a cat and mouse game. It is fun every once in a while to see movies that are really contained. And I thought this movie was really well contained.
Yeah. And there are also some parts where I think it was around when she makes it to the road. I think there's a couple times where just like, there's a stuff, you know, there's a way you could have got away, but you did this. And it's just like, just felt so frustrating. Like, she's supposed to be super smart now, but she didn't, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, being my profession, like, you wouldn't treat some lady who has blood all over herself like that.
Yeah.
You would ask her more questions, not just pull your gun out on her. Well, I hope anyways. But he got his upcoming. That also, Josh guy fucked him up.
Yeah. And also, like, some dude's just walking down the road all of a sudden. Like, you wouldn't just wait for him to get that close to you.
No. And especially how he was walking and all threatening towards her. In my head, as the normal person, being, wait a minute, maybe he's chasing this woman.
Yeah.
But the cast is great in it. I think they all are fun, and they all kind of have their own little quirks. I mean, I guess I should have known, too. Now that I'm thinking about the movie, I should have known that dude was a robot, because how he was, you know, this really great chef. And and it was fun that he was listening to Goo Goo Dolls' Iris when she was delivered. So it's a fun little Easter egg.
Also, like, everyone who went there had a companion. So, like, but I guess the Russian guy wasn't a robot, but. I guess that was a big twist for them, was that he wasn't like some mob guy.
Yeah, he's literally just a wealthy dude.
Yeah.
Who died a really horrible death. Which you should have, because, you know.
Yeah, still can't still need consent.
Yeah. That's true.
Can't just throw yourself at women and have them do whatever you want.
Yep.
Even if the robots.
Consequences for it.
But yeah, I thought that bottle opener finale was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see it coming in that scene, but like I said, early on, there's just so many insert shots of like this automatic bottle opener. I was like, that's going to come back at the end somehow.
I liked her Terminator reveal too, where she cut her arm off, you know, and made it. So you could see the robotness underneath it.
Yeah. Also, when she escapes at the end and she drives by another car with like another model of her in it, and that the other model starts to like get it.
Yeah. It's and you know, there is some moments too I really liked when the dudes from the company show up and they pretend like they believe him.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets in the car and says, this dude's fucking full of shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really fun movie. You know, I always dig when a movie comes out in February or January and they're lots of fun. Because, you know, now it seems besides last year, they try to release good movies throughout the year. There's really no more really big, you know, summer they still have the biggest movies, but they're a little more spread out now. So yeah, Companion, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
We watch movies throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Let's see. I watched a drama about, so you remember the movie Munich, right?
Yeah, I love Munich.
Well, someone made a movie called September 5th, which is the event leading up to Munich, with the terrorists who go to the Olympics and kill a bunch of people.
I qualify that. I think Munich is a really cool movie and it's really well made, but you know, it also deals with really heavy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a romp. But anyway, so this movie is about the events that led to that, the actual murders at the Olympics. But it's from the perspective of the TV station, right?
Oh, okay.
I think it was CBS. No, was it? Maybe ABC? I forget. Anyway, so like the whole movie just kind of takes place in the control room with all the like deck operators and the director sending like people out in the field, and Peter Jennings like in Olympic Village or whatever reporting back. So it's a really cool like perspective of how a, you know, they were just the sport, they were just there for the sports coverage. They're not like trained to report on like terrorist,
a world altering event or something.
Like they're design, their whole station is set up, this division of their state is just set up to report sports, but the manager was ever who's like, you know, the like the main nightly news is like, hey, we should be getting this story, and then the sports guy, the sports director's like, no, we're keeping this to our for ourselves, like we're here in the in like we're right here, like the terrorists are like two blocks away, like we're not gonna like have a third party report on this, like we're right here, we should do it. And so, but that stubbornness leads to like sort of getting, making the situation worse, right?
Yeah.
So, it's also like a cautionary tale about like, at one point they report like that everyone survived and made it out of like the terror, the hostages were released and they're, you know, like, oh, we're the first to report it. And, when they should have just waited a little bit and, got their real information, and so they like have egg on their face and everything. And yeah, it's a just, it's really cool that it's like done from the televising perspective of it.
Oh, that's that was nominated for Best Picture, right?
I don't think so.
Or maybe it's just an actor or something's name in it, nominated in it.
Yeah, I think someone from it is. I'll look it up at some point, but yeah, so that's a recommend for me. And then what else? I watched Presence, which has been out. We didn't do it.
Is that a good one? I mean, I think Soderbergh is a cool director.
Yeah, like as a experiment and like the execution of kind of sort of a constant one take thing. In this, like, all takes place in this house, and the camera just kind of moves around. I think it's interesting. But like I wouldn't say it was like a satisfying story. There's a lot of like just downtime. You're kind of like wanting things to happen, and the trailer kind of sells it like a poltergeist thing. It's so not that. You learn really quickly that the presence is just like a, like you, the camera, are the ghost haunting the place, but the ghost isn't malicious. It's like it just kind of follows this family around, and you kind of learn what they're like, why they moved in, and the tragedy that like led them here. And then you later find out that you are somehow associated with that tragedy. And there's like some really cringy stuff at the end where like there's like a like the daughter has been like hooking up with this guy from school, and then he tries to like drug her and rape her, and just like all of his dialogue is very just kind of, I don't know, obvious, like drug rapey dialogue. Like it's just,
just too on the nose.
It's so on the nose. Yeah. Like we need to like really sell that this guy's like this kind of guy. So that was kind of a tough thing, but yeah. And there's kind of like a sort of twist at the end that makes things come full circle that you're just like, oh, okay. I think that's where, I think that's what the cool part of the movie was supposed to be. But it's just like it takes so long to get there. But also the movie doesn't feel long. It's like when it ends, you're just like, oh shit, this is over. Shit. Okay. So
yeah, that's good, because I mean, I guess a movie like that shouldn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah, I can't imagine what else that movie would do. Yeah. I think the last thing I have for this week is I watched a movie called Riddle of Fire.
I've heard of that.
If you've heard it, it's on Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah.
It came out in 2023, and it's like, I'm trying to describe it. It's kind of like a Goonies, like a modern Goonies.
Nice.
Except like instead of, what's his name? Instead of, his treasure, they're after a blueberry pie for their mom.
Okay.
So there's like these three kids in Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
And the whole vibe of the movie kind of makes it seem like a Lord of the Rings fantasy tale, right?
Yeah.
It's like all the dialogue is very fantasy, like Labyrinth, Dark Crystal, like that whole vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm. I remember this. Yeah, I remember trailers for it.
Yeah. And these three kids, they're like riding around on their dirt bikes and stealing from Walmart. But yeah, they go home and they really want it. Like they steal basically a Nintendo, like an Okama Game Sphere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get home and then like their mom has the entertainment system on password. And she's upstairs and she has a cold. And so they wanted to get, you know, hey, mom, can we just play a few hours of this machine? And she's like, no, you guys should be outside playing. And so they make a deal with her that they get to play for 2 hours if they can go get her a blueberry pie from the market. They go to the blueberry pie store or whatever, and they're out of blueberry. So they decide to make it themselves. So they go to the grocery store and get like every little ingredient. And the last thing they need is like a blue sparrow egg, which the store's cleaned out of eggs except for like one carton. And then this one dude takes the carton from them. He's like, you know, tough kids, you know, this is mine. And then they vow to like track him down and get that carton back. And then in the course of like tracking him down, they find out that he's part of this like sinister, like I forget, it's like the Sword Blade gang or something. So he's got his own gang of like adult people. And they like stow away in their truck and they end up going camping. And it's just like, I don't know. I think I felt like it was a lot of fun.
Nice. It looked like the trailer made it look fun.
But I think the best part is just like the visual style is very, you know, like a 80s fantasy film. And then, but like all the locations are modern and the tech's all modern. Like people have phones or whatever. And then the dialogue is all weird and very unique to it. And the kids are pretty funny.
Nice.
You kind of forget what else. I think that's it for me. Also, for the longest time I was watching the movie, I was like, what does Riddle of Fire mean? Like, why do they call it this? And then like I'm thinking that question as like the Blu-ray's just sitting there on the menu. And on the menu there's like the password screen where they have to enter for the machine. It has like 20 candles at the bottom and then it's asking for the password. And I was like, oh, that's the riddle of yeah, okay. So like, yeah, a day later I figured it out.
We all get there eventually.
Yeah. What'd you watch?
Before I get into it, I haven't listened to it, but Corinne sent us a Showtime about Conclave and she actually warned me that she put spoilers in it, so here's Corinne talking about one of her favorite films from last year.
Hey nerds, Corinne here for another installment of Showtime where I tell you all about something cool I've been watching lately. This week, I wanted to talk quickly about a couple of movies I watched after Filmsplosion 2024, namely Hundreds of Beavers and a rewatch of Conclave. So yeah, Hundreds of Beavers, I think Ryan and Brad had it on their lists. And they were like, yeah, it's like basically like a live action cartoon. And that is a pretty accurate summary. I'd heard good things about it from them and a couple of other people I know. And I just went into it with the mentality of like, this is going to be completely ridiculous. And it was. It was a lot of fun. It felt like it took a while to get going as far as like, you know, initially... I don't remember, this was like 2 weeks ago now, but initially like the main guy, he's like destitute after his business fails or burns down because of shenanigans. And so, I mean, there's like a good 20 minutes of him just like trying to survive off of the, trying to catch different animals in the forest and, then I think like 25 minutes in, he's finally rescued by the trapper and the trapper ends up teaching him his ways of like, you know, here's what you do and here's how you like, here's all the traps and stuff. And so from there, like there's definitely like a progression to it of like, he gets, you know, better. Yeah. I think Brad at one point compared it to a video game and I'm like, definitely see that. the ending bit with the whole beaver, I don't know, it's settlement, like town, city, civilization. Yeah, the whole beaver civilization was kind of funny. I think it went on a little long. But yeah, well, I was actually kind of expecting something to, like, spoilers, I guess, for Hundreds of Beavers. But I was expecting there to, like, be some moment at the end where something happens and he actually doesn't end up with the trapper or the merchant's daughter. Yeah, like I said, it's been like 2 or 3 weeks since I've seen it, but I did have fun watching it. I would maybe recommend it to people. I guess check it out if it sounded at all of interest to you. Oh, and I rewatched Conclave with my roommate. She hadn't seen it yet. She generally liked it. I will say on rewatch, the music, I didn't really mind the music so much the first time, but the second time I was like, oh my gosh, like, ramp this down, guys. Like, I'm fine with like a few stingers and a few, like, but it's just, I don't know if it was like the sound mixing or whatever, but it felt so loud and seemed so obnoxious. I'm like, we do not need this for every single beat. And there are some moments where the music cuts out and they let the scene play out silently, and that's great. But there, it's like the music is like holding the audience's hand of like, oh my gosh, you're supposed to feel suspense and mystery and drama right now. And I'm like, I think the movie should be doing that, not the music, but okay. You don't, like, the movie's doing a pretty good job. You didn't need the music just feels like you're, yeah. It was too overpowering, or it was just overpowering. So, I kind of liked it better on rewatch. At least this time I was able to pick up more on some of the different themes and, yeah, the topics that come up. But I forgot there's a brief scene of Cardinal Lawrence's character, where he's like in his quarters at I don't remember what day of the conclave this is. It might have been like right before they start. And there's a scene with him in the bathroom the night before, and he's looking at himself in the mirror while he's trying to open his little bag of toiletries, and he's like repeating a line that I guess the Pope had told him before he died, and that's like, you're a manager, you gotta manage. And I was like, yeah, that plays into my whole idea about like the role of an administrator versus the role of, you know, a minister. Just a basic, you know, like a priest versus a cardinal or a bishop, you know, they have different roles, even though they're both like ordained ministers, they'd have different roles within the church. And Cardinal Lawrence is, because he's a cardinal, he's bogged down in all this bureaucracy. And another thing that I noticed, I think at one point he says something like how he's been, I don't know if he's like been a cardinal for years, or I think he says a line about how he doesn't leave Rome very often. Like, he's mostly stationed at the Vatican and he really doesn't leave. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. Like, so you really are just like super entrenched in this bureaucracy, in this like you don't go out and mix with the people, you don't, you know, minister to, quote, your flock, whoever that might be. Presumably he's from America or the UK, I don't know. But but that contrasts with spoilers, that contrasts with Cardinal Benitez, who of course is very hands-on with his ministry and seems to have a good grasp of his flock and the needs of the people that he serves. And that, yeah, I really love his speech there in the amphitheater where he's telling everybody, like, you know, this is what the church needs right now. And, you know, we can't be bogged down in all the bullshit. He doesn't say it quite like that, obviously, but, yeah. So yeah, spoilers, but in my opinion, I was like, the person who had the most Christ-like demeanor ends up becoming Pope. Of the main cardinals we meet, which I guess they kind of like wrote it like in his favor, because we only ever meet like 6 cardinals and 5 of them are heavily flawed. And Cardinal Benitez is like, the only, quote, bad thing about him is that he's intersex. And
even then, like, that's not commonly known. So, I guess, like, the only other, quote, bad thing about him is, like, nobody knew he was a cardinal until literally the conclave started. Yeah, so that's, like, the only, like, real mark against him is, like, nobody knows who he is. And then, of course, at the end you find out, like, oh, he's intersex, and, like, what does this mean for the church and for, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation I'll have to have later, probably not here, but, yeah, it's just, it's like, oh, this is a good topic that maybe people should talk about more. If, yeah, anyway, it's a whole other can of worms we don't need to open here, but I just wanted to mention that yes, I rewatched Conclave. I kind of liked it both better and worse the second time around. Again, caught more of the themes, didn't like the music so much, but everything else is pretty solid, like the acting and the costumes and sets and whatnot, like 10 and 10, all the rest of it. So yeah, if you haven't seen Conclave, which hopefully you have since I just spoiled it, go check it out. Go check out Hundreds of Beavers. I'm trying to watch, Brad had on his list, I forget, Wicked Little Letters, I think it's called. And it's on Netflix, which I have Netflix, but apparently I don't have the right kind of Netflix to access it, because it's like, oh, you only have the basic, you gotta have the premium plan for your, fuck this, I fucking hate streaming now. I haven't been on Netflix in ages, and I was just rewatching one of my anime on there, and I was like, the ads are minimal, but they're still there, and this pisses me off so much. It's better than Hulu, though, I will say that. Hulu ads kill me. When I did a 30 Rock rewatch a couple months back, it was like every single fucking... Anyway, there's that. But yes, I'm hoping to try to watch Wicked Little Letters at some point. I still need to watch The Fall Guy. I can watch it. I think it's on Prime, that I have access to that. So I will check in with you guys at some point in the future and let you know if I watch The Fall Guy and or Wicked Little Letters or something else entirely, something else that's of note. But yeah, that's where I'm at. So just wanted to check in and hope you all are having fun. Congrats to Brad and Ryan on their new venture in podcasting. I don't have any personal love for that TV show, but sounds like you guys are gonna have fun with it, and I'm excited for you. But yeah, check in with you guys next time about something. Until then, keep it real, nerds. Bye.
Thanks, Corinne. I'll have to skip over this, and hopefully I'll be able to watch Conclave soon. I only watched one thing this week. I saw Dog Man, which is this cartoon that came out where it's a police officer and his dog, and they get in a bomb, like a bomb blows up, and when the bomb blows up, the dog's head is the only thing that's left viable, and the policeman's body. So they sew the dog's head on the policeman's body, and he becomes basically a superhero. Because the cop knows Kung Fu and the dog is really smart. And so, yeah, he becomes Dog Man, the policeman. And his arch nemesis is the cat. And all they do is just do silly, basically skits throughout the movie. There is like a thread of a story throughout the film, but more it's just get to the next gag, to the next gag. But it's still pretty cute and it's pretty funny. Because the cat, the bad guy, he clones himself, but he comes out as little kitten, and he's really cute, and he becomes friends with Dog Man, and it's a cute movie, and it's fun, and the animation is really cool in it. It's the story is by the guy who wrote the Captain Underpants stuff, so they have pretty silly sight gags and dialogue throughout the film. Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. Like, it was a cute movie. And that's all I really watched.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's all I watched this week. I've been playing a lot of video games lately.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been going back and I've been replaying Mega Man. Because I have the collection on. I think I own everything Omega Man was released on PS4, whether it's the core games or Mega Man X or Battle Network. So I ran through the first six again. And I mean, I forgot, you know, those games are really challenging. And I went to my cousin's house and he downloaded this emulator and it has every single NES game on it. And did you ever play a game for NES called Gunsmoke?
No.
Oh man, I used to love that game. It's also made by Capcom and it's a scrolling game, but you're a cowboy in the Wild West and every level is a wanted poster for a bad guy. And so the B button shoots left, the A button shoots right. And if you push them together, he shoots right in front of you. It's really silly, but it's lots of fun. So I've been playing, tons of video games this week. Next week, we're seeing two movies. We are seeing Love Hurts and Heart Eyes, a very Valentine's Day themed Real Nerds. That should be fun. And until next week, we'll see you at the movie.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot at a real nerd. We'll give it all the gods. Lights, camera, action. Real Nerds.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!